It's the 5th of September. Beautiful day here. And I hope it's a beautiful day for you, at least in your hearts. We come together to bring joy and union to our spirit as one family. Everyone, I want you to just take a deep breath, relax, send yourself, and let go. Just let go of the cares of the day. Be in this special dimension that you're called into, or you wouldn't be here. I'm going to open our, call line to our community in just a few minutes, but I want to remind you that This is not just for chit-chatting. This is for connecting. This is for really sharing our gratitude and our needs and requests in life. As Paul said to one of the churches in 1 Corinthians, you receive not because you ask not. But sometimes we ask as if we're asking for a passive football game. We don't really surrender into the place where we first take the time to connect with God. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Yeshua gave to the apostles, and develop it into segments, I think he really meant each one of the segments to be favorites. And spent a little time on, maybe at least 30 seconds. And the first, it begins with our Father, which art in heaven. Which means we're seeking to go to meet God. We're not asking God to come here. Now, if you're talking about within your sacred heart, within yourself, yes, God is always with you, but he's not in all the situations of your life. That's why we produce separation. We just created way too many situations and then expected God to be there and make the situations okay. Not to relieve us from the situations, but to make the situations work so that we can keep them. And that's the point we miss in prayer. We first join with God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, insofar as adaptation is taking place, we are seeking to adapt to heaven, not to have heaven adapt to us. And then the prayer proceeds on. I just wanted to remind you of that. Let's take a moment. I think this is why in conventional church meetings, most of the meetings begin with song. There's something about music, especially music that points our soul to heavenly thoughts, that prepares us to be in the presence of God. And only after we're there does the pastor begin with an opening prayer. And if you take a look, if you were actually recording the sessions of your church, and I'm talking about, you know, the church on the corner where people go to worship, pray, and to join with their fellow members, the opening prayer is more of an invitation. And it's an invitation primarily to the Holy Spirit and to Christ. And to us to be joined in that place. It's quite different than the closing prayer or the prayer before we're called to the altar. That's a very different prayer. There are different prayers as we go through the service. And I don't know if you have any thoughts anymore about going to a conventional church, but it would probably be good for you to pick one that you feel a little favored for. And just come sometime to look at the order of celebration in a Sunday service. We're very, very relaxed in this. And the reason I am is because we have people from all denominations come here and no denominations at all. We have a lot of people join us in the blessing call because they know they have a spiritual life and a spiritual calling, but they don't want to put it in a box with a label on it. And we keep that open and relaxed to fit everyone because really, God fits all. He created us all. And He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're made of and exactly what you need. But He's waiting for you to ask. Now, is He waiting for you to ask because He's deaf? No. He's waiting for you to ask because when you ask, you adapt to God. Just a little bit. Our Father, which art in heaven, please hear my prayer. This is where I am. You see, you're already adapting. You're not out in the street screaming. You're not in the hospital crying. You're not in bed rolling and tossing. You get connected with God first. And I want to make sure that we do that before we get into our conversations, because sometimes our conversations get a little sideways into situations of the world, and I don't want to caution you or reprimand you for it because it's all good. But let's remember that we're affecting the thoughts and the life of everyone on this call. And we're creating an ambience for everyone on this call. And not everyone's going to talk. Only a few will speak. And I cherish the ones who do. And I love just as much the ones who remain in your silence. So let's begin. And we're going to start. We're going to open the line to Jerome. Hello, Jerome.
Oh, Glenda. Jerome up in Minnesota. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything you're doing and the spirit of you and the spirit of the universe. You are just so very helpful. I thank you and I love you and keep up the good work and blessings with everything you do today.
Oh, thank you. And you know, I was actually thinking about you early today and it's kind of I guess I'm violating my own rule about being in something silly. I was deciding what to wear, and I decided to wear white, and I thought about the old days when you don't wear white after Labor Day. And I thought, well, isn't that a silly rule? Who made up that rule? And I thought, oh, I know who made up that rule. Those are the people who live in the North Country, and they're starting to bundle up on the first day of September. And then I thought, who do I know up there? Jerome!
up in the north.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're having a wonderful beginning of autumn.
I am. Yes, and you are too. Blessings with everything you do.
Oh, we're having a lovely day.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Well,
I think.
Love you too. Okay. I'm going to open the line to our lovely Mary. Mary, you're on.
Hey, Glenda. Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can. And thank you so much for your sweet note. Oh, I just loved it.
Oh, I just love you, Glenda. I'm so grateful for you and just very mindful of your journey through many years and just your deep sharing with us, your authenticity. I just love you and I thank you so much. And one of the reasons that I wanted to speak today is to thank you for a gift. Sometimes I order things and I open them, like at the kind of at the right timing when I need them, mm-hmm. and I'm so happy to have them. So I had ordered some of your oils, the sample size drums that are so perfect, and thank you for that idea. But I've had this event in my life where I have gone to somewhere I never go in prayer, and it is to the Archangel Saint Michael. And you know, I grew up in the old Catholic Church, and for me, my way of learning, I always felt like God and Jesus and Mother Mary and the angels were so far away from me. They were so far removed, almost like characters in a story, and I thought that I had to wait to die to go to heaven. But your teachings and the blessing, I know Jesus had said to you at one point, they don't know who I am. And so the blessing has allowed me to have a deeper, more authentic knowing and experience of Jesus than I've ever had before, as a brother, as a real living presence. And the same is true for the angelic kingdoms. And I have gone a lot recently to Saint Michael. And I didn't feel like I necessarily knew this angel. So I ordered the oil of Saint Michael that you had. And oh my gosh, Glenda, when I first opened it, I tell you, it was like being transported to the warm hearth of a kitchen on a Christmas morning. There's like a hint. I don't know if it's cinnamon or one of the fragrances, but that oil is so powerful and safe and loving and affirming. And it's the first one I opened. I ordered two others, but that oil of Saint Michael, it's helping me when I go to him in prayer and when I ask, may I know him more deeply. And so thank you for all of these creations, because they help us inhabit, I think for me, they help me inhabit my prayers more fully when I use those oils to center myself and go into that sacred space of my heart. So thank you so much. I truly love the oil of Saint Michael, and I haven't opened my rose yet. I ordered the Arabian rose, but that'll be my next,
So
thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that little touch of spice. It's not a spicy fragrance, but you can pick it up. Michael is an activator. And Saint Michael, you know, he's the protector and the activator. He conveys let's get it done energy. And so he's kind of the spice of the angel world. And that had to be there as part of his identity. I'm glad you picked that up. It shows how closely connected you were to him, because it's not a heavy spice at all.
No. But, and it's so warm and embracing and transportive. It does take me out of my own heaviness, and it lifts me into the lightness of possibility. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. That's Michael. Michael is an activator. He brings us into connection with possibilities that can be done, and then helps us do them. So you got it. You really did. And, you know, I wanted to comment on one other thing you said about Mary and the angels and Yeshua being. They're not apart from us. What they're apart from is our situation. We keep our situations exist between us and them, and we put the situations there. They didn't. They're right there, right, as close as your breath. And we have to let go of our situations just a little bit in order to see in a more, shall we say, fulfilling prayer, state of prayer, where we really know we're going to be helped, where we really know that our faith is being honored. And this is a very, this is one of the main reasons that I spent the time through the years to create these essential oils, because they dissolve our situation. Now, they don't always solve our situations. That's different. But it's an interesting thing how so often our situations solve themselves if you don't empower them. And the way you stop empowering them is you dissolve them. You let them be what they are, and you be in your own spiritual kingdom. And that's what the essential oils can really help you do, because your body will recognize them. They are part of the natural world, and it's not the aroma. It's the energy from them. And you can, there are a lot of companies that have learned how to fake the aroma. Well, the aroma won't do it. It's the energy of life that does it. And I get as close as I can to that energy of life. It's not always possible to get wild, because in a global situation where humans are encroaching more and more upon nature, it's not always easy to get wild, but almost everything can be obtained organically. And that's, so I go for wild if I can. And that rose you're talking about is wild. That is rose the way God creates it. So everything that all the miraculous potential that is in rose has not been interfered with. And it is, it will take you to a state of bliss. You will bloom out on that.
I'm really looking forward.
Okay, that's your next step. Okay, well, I'm going to, hopefully life will, settle down just a little bit for me, and I'm going to start making some, recordings to post online for you to find out all these wonderful things I could be sharing, but I don't want to take up time on the blessing call, because we're here to bless one another. And I hope my comments bless you, but, I want to stay to the point here. So, it's always a lovely time to be with you, Mary. And I'm going to take a call from Patricia. Hello, Pat. Love you so much.
Hi there, Glenda. Hello from Louisiana.
Yeah.
My question is a follow-up to last week. Our study group here listened, yesterday to the as a group to the blessing call. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, profoundly impacted by your information about storms and how the generation of the energy is from deep under the sea in a disturbance there.
Mm-hmm.
And that led into your discussion of other disturbances and interventions. So I'm specifically asking about Get Behind Me, Satan. When those experiences, when we're in an experience where we're feeling confronted and we're asking for divine intervention with Yeshua, Get Behind Me, Satan is, I'm trying to hold the image of, is Yeshua saying to Satan to get behind him and to be in between us and that darker aspect of energy? Or are we saying those words for Satan to be behind us?
Well, okay, I would love to comment to everything you said, Pat. I think it's all extremely valuable, and I'm going to right now. Okay? First of all, I want to comment on the storm. And did all of you notice that what could have been an absolutely devastating landfall was not as bad as in previous times?
Yes. And we directed our prayer to the deep waters of the ocean so that that energy could not be drawn up. That's a mistake I made. I prayed to the storm like Yeshua told me to when Harvey was coming, but I thought I was supposed to be praying to the upper stratosphere where the winds were so high. I didn't know I needed to pray to where the energy was being drawn from. I prayed to the wrong pole. We prayed to the right pole, and when it broke, when it hit landfall, the storm decreased. So, it still was bad, and people were hurt, and for that, I'm really sorry, and let's remember them in our prayers today. But I just want to pay attention to that.
The impact was with the electrical system, you know, not so much the water, or, you know, there was a lot of wind, but it mostly affected the inadequate electrical delivery system in South Louisiana, which probably needed to be exposed anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So we made a difference. We made a difference, and I want to call your attention to that. And that can be used not just for hurricanes and water storms, but also firestorms draw their energy up from the deep earth and go to, they're all powered by a very deep vortex. Okay? And then they're spun out in the atmosphere. So remember to go deep. Now, this is true also in healing. Let's see. I don't know who. Hello, everyone. I am so sorry about that. There was static coming in, and I was trying to push a mute button, and I pushed the wrong one instead. But where I was leading to is in almost every situation, even personal healing, you have to go deeper. Don't forget to go deeper. So often, and really probably the greatest shortfall of conventional medicine is the tendency to treat symptoms. And one of the reasons symptoms are treated is because they're easy to spot. And the deeper cause is often hidden and unique to individuals. And so symptoms are pretty, if you have a rash, there's a particular way to treat that rash that is more or less similar with all people. But what the cause of that rash may be could be highly different from person to person. It could be emotional, could be spiritual, could be an allergy, could be an autoimmune reaction. And we need to remember this in all situations to go deeper, because it's from the depth that power is drawn. And then on the surface, that's where the effects are spun out. So just use that as an analogy for your life in many, many different situations. Could even be in a state of social disruption. On the surface, people are just being activated, and all they know is they're upset, they're angry, and they don't think life is fair. But nobody knows what's really underneath it all. And it really pays to be peaceful, to be thoughtful, to be mindful and responsible, to allow the real cause to emerge and handle it. And this is why sometimes all it takes is just starving out the situation. You don't feed it and it goes away. And it's as simple as that. You don't feed it and it goes away. This is why sometimes just turning to a life of prayer or a life of joy or a life of charity can make all the difference in the health of any individual. Now, let's see, the other part of the, let's see, where was I? Okay, Pat, you were we talked about Louisiana, we talked about the storm, and I was so distracted by my disconnection, I forgot what else we were going to talk about, but it was really, really important. Can you jog my memory, Pat? Oh, you're on mute.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you. Here's the rest of the question is, as you expanded last week in that teaching and talked about the confrontational aspect of asking, of Jesus saying, get behind me, Satan.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes, that is really, yes. Really important. I actually started that with the opening of our session today. But I didn't call it Satan. Okay.
Right.
Actually, there are a lot of people, as you know, a lot of people who don't want to even mention that name. They don't want to see that person. And they don't care whether there is or is not such a person. Because they know that there is often a storm of evil that breaks out in the world. And all they want is for it to go away. And I'm pretty much the same. The fact is, I don't want to empower it with a person. And I know that Yeshua did, and I think partly because he wanted to give that sense of destruction or that energy of destruction with a source point. And sometimes it really can have a source point. Sometimes we find it, the source point in our business or political world. And I think it's good to track it down at times. So we don't want to give it power. The fact is, what we want to get behind us is our situation. We've all got situations. Really, we do. There is no one here without situations. When Jesus was on in the desert, he had been there 41 days. And he was hungry. You can imagine, he was very hungry and thirsty. And this entity that he called Satan appeared and said, well, you are the Son of God. Why don't you turn those stones into bread and draw water up as a well from the earth? And Jesus said, get behind me. Get behind me. I know for what I came. Now, let me tell you what the power of those words are. First of all, he said, I'm putting that situation, yes, that's a situation, but I'm putting it behind me. I did not come for that situation. I came to be who I am. That's something anybody can say, regardless of your belief about negativity or who or what causes it. The fact is, we all know that it is and has been a force in the world. And at times, it's been personified. At other times, it feels like a vague energy. But it shows up for us inside of different situations. Put the situations behind you. Don't give them power. That's the key. The thing is, what Yeshua did, instead of saying, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, he said, I'm going to let the situations be hungry and thirsty because I'm not going to feed them. He was being tempted to feed the situations by giving his divine power into overcoming rocks and the earth to turn them into bread and water. And he wouldn't do it because he knew where his value lay. Okay? So, that's why I ask you, before we go into the blessing, to relax. Take your attention off of your situation, off of the ordeals of the world, because we're not praying into those ordeals. We're not praying into those situations. We're praying to our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the one who sustains us, who can lift us out of anything. And the only thing that separates us from God are our situations. That's it. That's it. Man left the Garden of Eden. And, you know, there's been a lot of silly interpretations of the eating of the tree and your eyes are open now. People who thought it's because they could see their nakedness and they went out and they created clothes and fig leaves and what happened is that with more knowledge about the world, which is what that was all about, knowledge about the world, everything in the garden was knowledge about life. You see, the garden was filled with life. All of the trees and the plants, which God said to Adam, these are your medicines, these are your foods. The animals, which you will supervise, you will name, you will care for. The garden was about life. And from God, we learn about life. Now, in that one tree, they were not supposed to touch, which was knowledge of good and evil. Well, let's face it, there was no evil in the garden. So why would they need to eat of that fruit? There was no evil there. So that tree was the tree of the world. It's a very simple, if you look at it like a child, it has to be the tree of the world. That's all it could be. So once they ate from the tree of the world, they would begin to have situations. Okay? Because in the world, we have situations. We just do. And those situations come between us and God. And so it was the goal and destiny of Yeshua to be here, walk among us, and to say, as he did to the apostles, I am in the world, but not of the world. He was giving us a clue about where we need to go next. In other words, to be in the world, which means we will have situations, but we know how to put the situations behind us. And that's what it really meant when he said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, the world. You're not in me. You may be nearby, and you can exist behind me, but you're not in me. That's not what I'm made of. Okay? Does that help, Pat?
Thank you, Brenda. That's so beautifully simple. Thank you.
It really is. The truth always is when you get to it. Okay. Christine, hi. So good to have you back. And you're on. You may need to unmute yourself. Oh, I'm so sorry. Christine, I accidentally clicked the X instead of the telephone. Log back in and I'll take your call. Okay. And while we're waiting for you to get back in, we'll take Stormy's call. Hello, Stormy.
Yes, Glenda. Am I there, Glenda?
Yes, of course. I am here.
Well, I am too. I'd like to give a blessing to the blessing givers known and unknown, from cave to our present home.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely.
And that these blessing givers you have trained, that they will teach what they have learned to others, and that this particular group of blessing givers will grow exponentially from generation to generation.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Stormy. Thank you very much. And I'll make an announcement in accord with that. I am really actually going to try this fall to conduct a blessing giver seminar by audiovisual. You know, there are several great audiovisual programs now, and I'm going to try several of them and see which one works the best. And we're going to see if we can do it by audiovisual, which will save the travel and allow us to connect. I don't want to do it by conference call. The conveyance of the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit sees no walls and sees no distance, but still, we need to be touching one another. And so we're going to try that and see what we can do to provide a continuity. And I think what we're going to start with is a refresher course for our existing blessing givers, and everybody get up to date so that we can share everything we've learned, everything we've grown into, and what we've experienced. So that's something to look forward to this fall. I know we can make it happen. Okay, Christine, you're back. And I got the right button now.
Hi, Glenda. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I just had a comment to Mary's talking about St. Michael. I was divorced last year, and it was a very traumatic divorce, and I moved to Florida. And I found this beautiful shrine in Tarpon Springs, Florida. And it's a Greek town, and it's kind of like the old Greeks. But in the 20s and 30s, there was a family that moved there, and the son had a vision and told the parents that St. Michael wants a shrine built to him. And they didn't believe him, so they didn't do it. But then he kept getting it, so they ended up building it. And there's this precious shrine in Tarpon Springs. It's right in the middle of a neighborhood. It's a little church, maybe just a hair smaller than where you have Yeshua in Fort Worth. But it's got all kinds of icons, Greek icons, a big, huge one in the middle, where the altar would be up in the front, Blessed Mother and the Last Supper, and it's just the most awesome place to go. I went there when I first got here, and they have candles that you can light there, and they have it if you go every Tuesday for 9 weeks, you light a candle and there's a prayer you say. And I did that, and now I just go there it's just the most awesome place. It's very tiny, but they take super good care of it. But to watch the people go in there, especially the Greeks, and to see their love for Blessed Mother and Yeshua and St. Michael. His pictures are all over the place. But they go and they kiss each picture and they back out of it's just the culture in there is just so awesome to watch their devotion. And there's this little old lady, she's there all the time, and she takes care of it. But it's like going back in time. And they have a real soft, you can barely hear it, like Latin, I don't know if it's a mass or what it is, but it's just this music that's in the background when you're sitting there. And there's probably only maybe five pews or something, but it's just the most adorable place. So if anybody goes to Tarpon Springs in Florida, find your way there, because it's just something you don't see in this modern world. It's like it's frozen in time. And it's just a very, very cool place to go.
Oh, thank you for that, Christine. And you know, there is a mention in one of my books about a place similar to that in Rancho Six House, Mexico. A church built in the 1700s that still has that sacred energy. And that's really, really what I'm talking about here, is to get out of the world. To go, that's the value of these sacred places that have been created. And sometimes they were created out of natural artifacts. In Sedona, we found carved out of caves in the red rocks, ancient places of healing and prayer with graphics written on the walls and stones put in a circle, and perhaps outside would have been a fire pit. And you go in and you just feel the world go away. And you're in this place where it's sacred. And if you don't have such a place nearby, I would suggest you create one. And you can. You can in your home, where there's just this one corner where you go and you pray, you read your most sacred books, you think your most sacred, loving thoughts to God, and you make it that place where the world goes away. It gets behind you. And miracles happen there. They really do. All you have to do is get your situations out of the way, and you're right there with God. So
that is very helpful to me. I ordered years ago, probably around 2005 or 4 somewhere. I have a print of Yeshua from you, and I have the Blessed Mother. And I have her in my office and him in a corner, just like you say. And I have a little shelf that's underneath of him. And those are my two places where I go for refuge. And you're right. It's like, it's separated from the rest of the house. And then I have Archangel Michael across from Yeshua. I have a big picture of him. So just having those, I go to Yeshua every morning, and I you know, tell him good morning, and I talk to him. And so I'm so appreciative of your art and your work and giving us these beautiful portraits. Because it's like bringing them right into your home. And I'm so grateful for,
exactly,
for your work.
And that's why I created the new small framed ones, so that you can have that in more rooms of your house without having to, you know, we're all on a pretty tight budget today. And to have something lovely that's a reminder on your desk or on your bedside could be very... a very sweet treasure that helps you put the world behind you. So thank you for that, Christine. I really appreciate that. We need to move on. Iman is on the line. Hi, Iman. And welcome.
Aloha, Glenda. First and foremost, I would like to send my love and my gratitude to you, being such a beautiful flame of light in the world, and the community that share this beautiful light. I would like to ask a prayer for the entire earth, for mankind, for life on earth. And if we can calm the storm, the physical storm, can we please send all our hearts and love into calming the human storm?
Amen.
Amen. Can we please do that?
Amen.
With your guidance and your love? Thank you, my beloved.
Yes. That is the biggest storm we have to deal with. And we're being taught, we're giving lessons bit by bit with the physical storm, so we learn how to calm them. But the big one is us. It really is.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Iman. And
love
Christopher,
you.
You, I love you too. Christopher, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. I had to say hi. Been thinking about you a lot. And first of all, I want to say, you know, thank you so much for your consistency every week in our lives. It's just such a gift. I cry. I just feel such gratitude for you and all that you've given to us. You know, I've only been around for less than a year and a half, and I'm thinking, what about all these people who have been here for 20 or 30 years with you?
Yeah.
So just thank you so much.
We've been building.
Okay. We've been getting ready for you, Christopher, and for everybody else. So, you know, I write on our message every week, everyone is welcome, and it's always free, and always will be. Please just come. So, this is our little bit. This is our little sacred space where we come. You know, sacred space doesn't have to be material space. It can be spiritual space where we join in the company of other people who wish us nothing but love.
Yes. That's the other thing I was going to say, is just that even though I've never met any of you in the physical form, I mean, I feel Sarah, I feel Maura, I feel Susan, I'm like, I know these people, and I pray for you all. You know, in my prayers, I'm like, these are my friends, this is my tribe, these people are here supporting me, I'm so grateful. I feel your prayers for me. And it's incredible, it's so powerful, every week. And I just also wanted to give a shout out of gratitude to Yeshua and you, and I just feel that the work that you did together and continue to do together has just validated and supported me so much. And just a little feedback, because maybe 2 months ago or so, I asked a prayer about life purpose. And I did just enroll in graduate school to finish my master's degree. And the synchronicities that are happening, what my vision is really about how to bring more love into leadership. And I just feel overwhelmed with how much beauty has unfolded. I mean, people showing up out of the woodworks from different companies and corporations, people that have been doing consulting work for 40 years, people that are working in more love-based companies, showing up to say, I want to help you. I want to help you with your study. I want to help you build these bridges.
Yeah, that's one of the things we truly, and this speaks back to what Iman asked for. Can we calm the storm within humanity? Yeah. We need more love in leadership at every level.
Yes. And that's been my vision, Glenda. You know, I started graduate school about 2 years ago, and I decided, was it in 2019, 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And, you know, I got a lot out of it. It was about the golden rule, bringing love into leadership. And then I felt there was something missing. And so I forfeited that degree program. It took a lot of courage to do it. But Yeshua was calling me. And I spent the last year and a half with you and him. And now it's time. And I found a program where I can actually design my own curriculum and do it all through mentored studies. So suddenly I have all these masterful people showing up saying, I want to help you build these bridges. And I couldn't have done it without you guys. I couldn't have done it without Yeshua and with your translation of his amazing teachings and love to validate me that this is really important to do right now and that we can do this.
Yes, no? We can. And you know, I think a lot of people have wanted to do what you are talking about, but one of the things that so many people are a little bit insecure or have been insecure about, and I hope that will be cured, but they've been a little bit insecure about what does real love look like? Because a lot of people in the past have faked it. I mean, they'll say, oh, we just want to do all of this for you, and we're going to do this for you and that, and we're going to do all these great things, and they talk about love, and they don't have a clue what love is. They really don't.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I think this is going to be cured out is because we're starting to learn that it's got to be authentic. And that means it starts with you. You've got to find out where does that love live inside you. This was the first thing that Yeshua taught me. The first thing he spoke, he said the most important thing you need to know is love is who you are. Otherwise, it's not authentic. You can fake the symptoms of love, but you can't fake love.
Mm.
It's real. And finding that authenticity will change everybody. And it will get us where we want to go. And that's an example, again, of looking deeper for the cause instead of focusing on the symptoms. There are a lot of symptoms of love people could talk about and promise. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this, which will help everybody. Right. Right. How are you going to do it without loving you? You know? How are you going to do it? You first got to, you got to look deep, baby. You got to look deep. You got to find that love in yourself. You know? It's got to be authentic.
Oh, man. You are,
and when you find that authentic love, the symptoms start going away. I mean, they're not even necessary, because you just go out and you do it. You do it by living it. Okay? And I'm giving you guys a lot of coaching on how to do that. So.
You are just hitting the nail on the head once again, Glenda. This is it's precisely so. You know, I spoke with a man. He's a Sufi. He's been on the path of with the master for 50 years, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he does consulting in businesses. He just wrote a book called Empower Us. And what he said to me, he goes, yeah, that stuff you're talking about, that's all kind of lip service. The stuff that the companies say they're doing and this. He said, no, it's transformation. We need to be transformed by love.
Exactly.
And he said, that's what I want to share with people. And that's what he said, and I would be honored to be in your company and help you with this.
Love it. That's exactly
what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what Yeshua lived. His love on the cross was so great. Not only he, but his body and all of humanity was transformed by it. When love is big enough, everything gets transformed. We just need a lot more bigger love. You know, look at Mother Teresa. From the very beginning, everyone from the Pope down told her to just go be a little nun and stop pushing this. You'll never do it. There are always going to be poor people. We can't do it. She didn't stop. She put her life on the line. She would talk to anybody. She kept going. And she got the job done. And before her life was over, everybody in this world knew about her and was assisting her ministries. Everybody. The same with the Dalai Lama. You know, look at what he has been through in his life. Being exiled from his homeland. Having to take his people into safety, away from almost near annihilation, and being there as a light into the world. And he just keeps loving. He just keeps loving. And I think he's a really, really great force in some of the positive developments in China. Because I think they've seen that we don't have to move away from the heart of our being in order to lighten up this enforcement a little bit, a little bit. And on that subject, I'm not changing the subject at all, but I do want, put a little joy into our community today. I haven't gone through our, list to see if she's here or not. But I want to thank, whether she's here or not, I want to thank Genia Hines for a little gift I received yesterday in the mail. It's a big box full of persimmons. This may seem like a kind of a silly gift. Why would somebody send another person a big box of persimmons? But actually, Genia and I have a persimmon festival every fall. She is Chinese, and her family was exiled. They were Chinese aristocracy. And in China, it was a really, really big deal to grow persimmons correctly and to ripen them correctly. They were called food of the gods. And when they're done right, it's like, Oh, my heavens. Oh, Lord, I have never tasted anything so wonderful. Well, it's not just about the persimmons. Genia was one of the major supporters that launched Love Without, the whole Love Without In ministry in its early years when we were struggling. And she's a very educated person who has herself authored several books. And she translated Love Without End into Chinese, traditional Chinese. And it's on our website. It's only available right now in digital form. The reason being that if we publish it in physical form and distribute it in China, it becomes a physical call out to people who will be spotted as being Christians. And it's still not safe to have that happen. So people are purchasing it digitally. And I just wanted to say that to you. So we are expanding in that regard. And Genia and I celebrate that every fall when the persimmons start coming ripe. And she sends me a big box. So I got, they have to be fully ripened first, but we're gonna finish our persimmon festival. And I just wanted to invite all of you to join me. If you're in a place where they're available, what you do is you keep them to room temperature until they're fully ripe. And when they're fully ripe, then you refrigerate them until they finish maturing. And then you eat them with a spoon. They're pudding when they're done ripe. And they're absolutely fabulous. So we are working around the world to get this message out. And just kind of an update on how we are infiltrating the part of the world that has been very, very hard on Christians. And we already have a large following there, and especially in the free countries surrounding China. So just keep the love up, and transformation will happen. It's already happening. We're getting the job done. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, our gracious Heavenly Father, and the love of Christ, it will be done. Don't get ready for it. It will be done. Maybe in our lifetime. I hope so. I'd like to live to see it. That's what I want for my reward, is to live to see the job done. Well, I think it's time we got on to our blessing. We've been here an hour now, and it seems like our little chit-chat sessions go on longer and longer every day, but I think they're very important. So it helps to get us into that temple that we need to be in, where the world is behind us or it's just somewhere else. But let's take a deep breath now. Just relax wherever you are, in your chair, in your recliner, the bed, on the green grass, sitting in a swing under the chair, looking up at the fall leaves. That would be a great place for your home to be. I'm gonna get. Okay. Now, let's just take a very, very deep breath. Hold it. And as you let it out, let it massage your heart, your liver, and all the other organs of your body that never get touched. Let them know they're being loved too. Every part of your body is being furnished with energy and love. Go deep. See, by taking your love deep in your lungs, you're going deep. You're going deep where the energy is drawn. Sense your diaphragm being stretched. It's being stretched, and your every part inside you is being massaged. And doesn't it feel good? Feel it. That's just a breath. Everything. Now let it out slowly. And then relax. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, shake out your arms and legs
make sure they stay uncrossed, because we're going to be pulling up energy from the heavens and from the earth. Continue with your breath, but don't make it your point of focus. Just relax into being the love that you are. Just relax and be. As soon as I'm finished with my prayer, you will begin your prayer. Okay? Dear Yeshua, the world is behind us. There is nothing between you and us. We know you're here. We greet you. We take your love in like the sweet breath of heaven. We take in the Holy Spirit like living waters. And we feel the grace of God like our Father holding us in his arms. We know that nothing good but good can happen. Only good will prevail in this state of union with our Creator. We are in this place where we were created to be whole and to be perfect, and to be united with God and with one another, in which state we are following your two commandments to be in union with one another and to be with our Heavenly Father. Now, we ask that you hear the prayer of each person. We ask that our union with one another be extended beyond those we know. For you know far beyond us who is actually here. Many more are here than we could ever count. They're here because we are one as humanity. And you can count them all. You can see them all. You can include them all in our prayers, that they may be healed and fed and brought into a state of peace where the wars can end and our differences can fade away. We can realize that our differences just make us interesting and more helpful to one another, but not to cause strife. And now we surrender into this holy space as we receive blessings from you, the Holy Spirit, and our Heavenly Father. Amen. Everyone, begin your prayer, and blessing givers, will you join me in offering the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Just rest. Don't think. Don't even cry. Keep your mind blank and your spirit open and your heart radiant, and just be the love that you are. Allow God to do the work. Allow God to get the message. God bless you. Have a great week. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.